The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. Amen.
So good to look at this passage together. It's so exciting and powerful. You have the shouts of welcome, the waving palm branches, but the sneers of the religious leaders. You have Jesus riding into Jerusalem, not on a war horse, but on the colt, on the foal of a donkey. You have the acclamation of the coming King, Jesus. But then a number of days later, he is nailed to a cross. It's a day very much of contrast. It's a day of light and shade. And one of the things that highlights this is that you have cheers on the one hand and tears on the other. So that the cheers are fairly obvious, aren't they? You've got the crowd who are celebrating, the crowd who are worshipping, who are praising God in loud voices. Here is the King Jesus. The tears are there as well. I wonder if you miss them, actually, because we can get caught up in the noise and the worship and the excitement. But the tears are there, and it's tears from Jesus. So verse 41, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. And it's that contrast that we're going to look up today. There are some slides that are going to come up on the screen. And we're going to think about the cheers, and we're going to think about the tears of Jesus as we press in to what God has to say to us this first Palm Sunday. So the cheers, first of all, the celebration. And it's exuberant praise, isn't it? It's over the top praise. And it's whole body worship. It just struck me reading this through again this week, how it is, they're not sitting in pews. This isn't like an English congregation in a country church and they're sitting there and they're all buttoned up. This is very, very wild and wide and exuberant praise with the whole body involved. So they're on the move, first of all. They're not standing still. They're not sitting still. They have the colt, the foal of a donkey, and they spread their cloaks on it and Jesus sits on it. You can't really describe this without waving your hands in the air. So I hope this doesn't look too odd. But they spread the cloaks on the road. The other gospels show that they are waving palm branches in the air. And there are these shouts of the crowd. It's not ordered. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. And it's exciting and it's exuberant and it's powerful. And yeah, it's a little bit over the top, but it is real worship. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid in worship here in this place to use your whole body. Don't be afraid to clap. Don't be afraid to lift your hands. Don't be afraid to give yourself to God in exuberant praise. And actually, praise like this is one of the authenticating marks of true Christian worship. Jesus says that essentially, doesn't he? as the religious leaders say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." You know, they're saying things that they shouldn't say. Jesus says, if they were silent, these very stones would cry out. Worship is so important. Worship of the living God. Worship as he reveals himself in Jesus Christ. And it is that authenticating hallmark of true Christian discipleship. It's not the only one, but it's an important one. Billy Bray, who was a Cornishman, who was a great saint of a previous century, quite controversial, quite over the top, not a diplomat, and he was a lively worshipper of God. And people were challenging him about that and saying, "Can't you tone it down a little bit?" And he said, "You can put me in a beer barrel and I will still shout hallelujah through the bunghole." There's something really magnificent and wonderful about that. There is that sense of praise and worship and adoration that just bubbles up if we really know God deeply. And who is it who is going to be cheering? Who is it who is going to be praising? This is one of the key things that I want to say today. It's not just a small group of people. It's not just Jewish people. But this is worship that encompasses all people. So Jesus comes. What does he come as? He comes as the Messiah. There's all sorts of clues about this in this particular passage. Jesus, the Messiah. And you have Psalm 118, and it's a messianic psalm. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's sounded out really wonderful. And he comes as Messiah not just for Jewish people. He certainly does. And there's all sorts of Jewish people who are there in Jerusalem. It's not just the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It's Passover time, and people come from all over the country to Jerusalem to the feast. What's more, you have the so-called diaspora Jews, the Jews of the dispersion, the Jews who are around in the Roman Empire, and they're all coming to this very, very special feast. But it's more than that. Very end of the reading. So they've come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and Jesus goes to the temple and he cleanses the temple. So there are all these people around who are buying and selling. They're selling doves for sacrifices. There's all sorts of hustle and bustle. It's basically a marketplace. And Jesus throws them out and he says, "My house is to be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." The priority of worship still. But here's the thing. Who is this for? It's not for the Jewish people. It's for the Gentiles. Because this marketplace was in the outer courts. It was where the Gentiles were to gather and to worship. If you were Jewish, you were okay. You would go in, you would buy your dove for sacrifice, and then you would go into the inner courts and you would worship there. But if you were a Gentile, you weren't allowed into those inner courts. You had to stay in the outer courts, which were meant to be a place of prayer for you, but now it's a market. And there's all sorts of sharp practice that's going on, you know, odd weights and measures, and it's just a mess. And so the Gentiles can't worship. Jesus isn't clearing the temple for the Jewish people. He's clearing it for the Gentile people. And it anticipates what we've heard about in Isaiah, in our series there, that people are going to come from the north and the south and the east and the west. And they are going to join together in the worship of the one true living God. Gentile people, non-Jewish people, and people, as we see this worked out in the New Testament, from all over the world are beginning to come. What does Jesus say? The gospel is going to be proclaimed first here in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. This is for everyone. Everyone is coming. And so the encouragement to worship, the encouragement to come, the encouragement to give ourselves in worship, and the encouragement to try and model, to try and embody a multicultural community who are worshiping God. And we want to bring about a step change at this point in our worship. And we want to move forward step by step, but nevertheless significantly, into what we're calling intercultural worship. So had a meeting with Laura from Transformations Leeds, with Sean, one of our students, and with Wayinmi this week. And we've talked about how we can progress this. And we're actually going to start next week. Nathan is leading. We're going to have Christ is Risen in a number of different languages, and people are going to come in, and Wayinmi is going to lead us in a Nigerian song. I know this has happened here before, but what we want to do now is not just do this as one-offs, but actually embed this in our worshipping life together. One of the step changes that I want to see. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic as we come together and celebrate Easter in this way. Having said all of that, I'm not going to be here, and I'm really sorry about that. I'm going to be at Crag, and so I'm going to miss the Nigerian song, although I'll catch up with it, and I'm going to miss Christ is Risen in lots of different languages. But it's going to be so exciting, and we look forward to developing this in various ways in the weeks that lie ahead. Sabina is going to join our group. We're going to be thinking about ways that we can press forward with this. I know this isn't new here, but what we want to do is have this as part of our DNA as a gathering as we move forwards. The thing about intercultural worship is that it's not just worship on my terms. It's not just worship on your terms or your terms or your terms. We actually come together and we share different cultures together. And that's uncomfortable, but it can be so exciting. I am so looking forward to see us press into this in the days that lie ahead. So we have the cheers, first of all, that are writ large in this passage, but we also have the tears. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. We have thought about this in recent days. In the other Gospels, Jesus uses that image. How have I longed to gather you, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And here we see that he weeps over Jerusalem. He weeps over the city. There is an initial fulfillment of this in Bible times, in that Jerusalem did fall in AD 70. The Romans came. There had been a Jewish rebellion. The Romans came and crushed it. They took over. They took over the temple. They looted it. And Jesus weeps because he knows, as Son of Man and Son of God, what is coming for the holy city. But that's not the only fulfillment. And again in history, the city that is so important in God's plan, the idea of a city or the city, there have been cities that have not been right, that have been full of pain and agony for people. And we pray for the cities of Ukraine at this moment, for places like Kyiv and Mariupol and Dnipro. People say, where is Jesus in these terrible circumstances? And I want to say that Jesus weeps. Jesus is right there. Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, is in those cities and he is weeping. God of grace and God of justice. And Jesus weeps for us. Jesus weeps for you. Here you have the people who are just not responding. Jesus wants them to come to him, longs for them to come to him. He weeps over them and they do not come. And you see Jesus' heart that is so deep and loving and reaches out towards us. I wonder, does Jesus weep over you? Perhaps you've come to these services, perhaps you're listening online and you're engaging, and that is so great. It's so wonderful to have you with us. But you've never actually stepped over the line. You've never said, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to come to you. I want you to be my king. Will you come and will you transform my life and give me salvation? You've never said that. And I think Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps over you and he says, come to me. Come to me. He longs for you to come to him and receive his transforming power. He longs for you to come and receive salvation. He longs for you to receive the transforming Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing that is symbolized in baptism. He wants you to come and he weeps. We also read in the Bible that there is rejoicing in heaven over just one sinner, one person who's gone their own way, who repents, who turns from that way, and who turns back to God. And if you come to him today, whether it's online, whether it's in person, then weeping can turn to rejoicing. God wants to rejoice over you. Come to him now and receive his grace. But of course, there's also weeping that we need to do. As those who follow Jesus, as those who love him, as those who want to be his disciples, do we weep for those who don't yet know Jesus? There's a challenge to worship. There's the challenge to exuberance. There's the challenge to intercultural worship and the joyful, robustious journey that that's going to be for us. But there is also the challenge to be people who weep. People who weep over broken communities. People who weep over broken lives. People who weep over broken families, people who weep where there is domestic violence. The hugely moving story that we've heard from TLG. My longing is that we can be a part as a gathering and as a whole church in just helping broken lives to be made whole. Do we weep over those who don't know Jesus? There's a quotation that's coming up on the screen from C.H. Spurgeon. The Lord Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem, and you will have to weep over sinners if they are to be saved by you. Through you. Of course, it's Jesus who does the saving. Sorry about that. I thought I'd better correct that, given that this is being recorded, but also correct it for you. It is Jesus who saves. And so we can be joyful and confident and expectant that he is going to work. But we need him to work in our hearts so that we weep. George Whitefield, the evangelist of the 18th century, used to weep as he was preaching, used to weep over those who didn't come to Christ. Are we ready to be those who give ourselves in worship, but also give ourselves in weeping over brokenness, and who are ready to take action as a result? Let's pause together. We're going to sing in just a moment. Chris is going to come back and he is going to introduce that. I can see, hear some children's sounds, which is really wonderful. Let me just pray very briefly now. Father God, we thank you for the cheers and the tears of the first Palm Sunday. And we pray that you would make us, even now, even at this moment, a people who are celebrating together joyfully and wonderfully because you are our King. Help us to do that together as a group of your people. And Lord, we pray that we would be those who weep also, who weep over Jerusalem, who weep over brokenness, broken lives, and broken communities. Be with us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hear some noises in the side of a procession heading this way. The next song we're going to